contribute. You can grab it around town or read it at discorder.ca.
Forever local and forever free.
Never selling my soul. Guess we won't know until we know. So all I can do is hope, hope, hope. All I can do is hope. When I die, I'll leave a note. Till then, I just hope, hope. I'm about to switch it on you all. My shoes are bleeding with the blood of Martin Luther King. These ain't no Louboutins. This is for tough gong. This is for activists riding in Teflon with a bulletproof vest on. This is for misfits who know that I'm serious. This is for all the delirious kids who can live inside the prison pyramid. This kid's in prison, are you hearing this? Believe me, this is not a conspiracy. I don't label myself a conspiracist. I need a therapist. Look, Fahrenheit 451. Building 7 wasn't hitting. There's more shit to come. The Pentagon is on a run. I just hope I go to heaven when this shit is done. Business is business, I get it. I'm just wishing all these prisons was not independent. Lobbyists are in the Senate. Lobbying to make it obvious. Innocent people are prosecuted for a living. I talk to Judah in my visions. Your bullshit is done. I'll be Martin Luther in a minute. My Sato products in the kitchen. Why do you even get passionate when you be spitting? You know that they don't even listen. They care about why I sell for life and putting lean up in their fridges and wearing crosses like they Christian. When playing chess and I'm the bishop, I just ran out of ammunition, baby, but I'm still on a mission. Your verses sound like dirty dishes and that's just a joke. But baby, all I do is hope. Baby, all I do is hope. I'm never selling my soul. Yeah, we won't know until we know. Baby, all I do is hope. Gloomy, gloomy days in Calabasas, cities on the map, so now it's hella ratchets. Misfit soldier with my stripes and badges, shouldn't plug the click, but that's just automatic. Got a number there, well, what's her name? Never hit her up, but I'm so glad I have it. Case of lonely days, she'll fall upon me, I can make a call and we can share some magic. Got a psychopathic flow, I'm scared of snapping. Hit him in the back and they don't know what happened. So subliminal, and you didn't know, smooth criminal. Call me Michael Jackson, I would die for this, a suicidal passion. You and I was simply too alive to have it. Girl, my ego had to die, ego had to fly. I'm just really glad this room is padded, cause I'm going harder than running back. Once I get it all, I ain't coming back. Girl, I guess we'll never talk again. Well, I didn't know that you wanted that. Could have left you with the mother kids. Would have helped us with a lot of suffering. Now I'm hanging out with mutual friends and they just do a lot of wondering. You want to come on, come on, come on, come on. I ain't want the drama, 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 drama. Take you anywhere in the world you want to go, baby. You my pseudo baby mama. Me and you a gang, 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 gang. No bandana, that's no problem. Feeling cooler than the funny. Going through the way you want to, baby.
Feel your body, I can feel your will inside of you, I feel your soul, casing through the grills, go where we're going, oh no, 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 no.
Good morning. November 23rd. In America, this is known as Thanksgiving. Here in Canada, it's just another rainy-ass Thursday. Surprisingly enough, this morning it wasn't raining. You're listening to Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR, Vancouver's community radio station. I'm your host, Issa Arian, and we are broadcasting from the unceded Musqueam and Coast Salish territory here from UBC's campus, deep in the woods. And you know, if you've ever listened to the show before, what we like to do here is bring you a little bit of local news so you can know what's going on here in the Lower Mainland, British Columbia, and Canada. And then we like to bring you some news from down south. I think it is called the United States of America. And then we like to bring you some global news. We just like to bring some funny stories. Sometimes we have some interesting guests on here, some artists, some visual artists, maybe some filmmakers, some comedians, some smart people. Sometimes I just have my friends call in because my friends happen to be really, really smart. Like, I really appreciate the type of brains that some of the people who I hang out with, and that's partially why I hang out with them. It's because I think that they're smart, and I feel that it's nice to learn things from those types of people. But you today, you will be either you driving in the car, perhaps with your kids, listening to, you know, just some community radio, just understanding it on Thursdays is the time when you can pick up a little bit of knowledge, or you're listening from the States with your family. And if you're listening with your family, and like most American families, they are mixed, I'm guaranteed to make your family fight today because we are going to get into some really, really funny stuff later. However, you know, we like to start off here with the weather. This week is particularly near and dear to my heart because I don't know if you know, but if you know me personally, you know that I coach the Little League football team, and it is really probably one of the more fun things I get to do is teach football to little kids, teach them about competition and hard work. And my team has made it to the championship, so shout out to all of those kids and parents who continue to bring their kids week after week, but the kids who they're doing all of the heavy lifting. So we have our championship game on Sunday, and just like last Sunday, it will be cold and it will be rainy. It'll going to rain for the next 14 days. It says on Wednesday and Thursday of next week that it is not lying. However, that it's not raining. However, I feel like you can't believe the rain. I mean, you can't believe the weather pretty much, except for on the day of. And you can just trust that, listen, it's Vancouver in November, December, January, February, March, April, May, that it will probably be raining more often than not. So if it says partially cloudy and not rainy, I'm going to have to call BS until I really see it. We got a packed show for you today. It is the Thanksgiving edition. So that means I know that some people, particularly the people who listen to me the most, are going to be chilling with their families. Maybe huddled around the Yule log. Maybe passing the peace pipe. Because I feel like now that we're adults, we're a little older. Not only are we a little older, but, you know, just the general consensus around, you know, what can be shared around Thanksgiving has changed a little bit for me. Like, the last time I was home for a family function, we passed around a bottle of Hennessy. And not that there's anything wrong with passing around a bottle of Hennessy, but, you know, like 10 years ago, couldn't do that. So, you know, as we continue to age and continue to get a little bit older, it's just nice to be able to enjoy the things that you enjoy with your friends. Now you can bring that into the family environment, and you can actually see that, no, my uncle wasn't acting funny. He was drunk. And so, like, now, if you're like me, while I might not be that drunk uncle, I am a drunk uncle. So we got a packed show for you. When we come back, we're going to get into a story about how I bet you didn't know that Biggie Smalls actually got shot a few times and survived here in British Columbia. The more you know.
LGBTQ2I Night is a positive space for folks to learn about bike maintenance in a relaxed environment led by queer mechanics and volunteers. It takes place on the fourth Wednesday of every month at the Bike Kitchen on UBC's campus. Bring your own bike and fix them with our tools, come with questions and ask away, or learn by watching other folks work on their bikes. Beginners are always welcome. This event is entirely free to attend and there will be free pizza. For more information, visit bikecoop.ca.
Am I wrong?
Man, they were nihilists, man.
Huh?
They kept saying they believed in nothing.
Nihilists. Me.
The Great Escape from Nihilism, Rediscovering Our Passion in Late Modernity by Dr. Gordon E. Karkner involves a journey out of the prison of contemporary nihilism and into a meaningful life trajectory. Rooted in the work of Canadian premier philosopher Charles Taylor, this book is a relevant read for students and faculty. You can find it at the UBC or Regent bookstores.
Who's the f***ing nihilist around here, you bunch of f***ing crybabies?
Nigga, I'ma come up in a minute. Nigga, I'ma come up in a minute. Shit been taking long, but it's straight. Come up in a minute. Nigga, I'ma come up in a minute. Shit been taking long, but it's straight. Oh, wait. The older homie said, nigga, what you waiting for? You knew you would make it like way before. Now it's time to take it up one more floor. Nigga, I'ma come up in a minute. Nigga, I'ma come up in a minute. Shit been taking long, but it's straight. Come up in a minute. Nigga, I'ma come up in a minute. Shit been taking long, but it's straight. Oh, wait. The older homie said, nigga, what you waiting for? You knew you would make it like way before. Now it's time to take it up one more floor. Nigga, I'ma come up in a minute. Shut up when I'm sipping. Look at how I'm living. Everything different. I don't even recognize shit around me. New niggas wanna come be around me. At the crib, it was only me and mommy. Lights off, but I had the matches on me. No, I had not get down to the major, my signature. Hot in my city, I never sweated the temperature. Fucking fake rapping the middle finger to minister. He taking my money, my situation is sinister. Fuck your head office and who you got as a minister. I'm from the mud and I never gave him my membership. I've been facing the guardian lately, I can't even remember shit. Treat my new bitch on some reservation for dinner shit. Niggas hating Amy's in trouble though. Recording my homie basement, the mic wasn't cutting though. Had to wrap the wire around the iron to cut it though. I've been doing this back when granny bought me a bubble coat. I just bought another pair of skinnies a month ago. I just be knocking these niggas down like they dominoes. I wanna elevate just as far as the comments go. Rollin' my bitch, we breakin' now, we need a passenger. Nigga, I'ma come up in a minute. Nigga, I'ma come up in a minute. Shit been taking long, but it's straight. Come up in a minute. Nigga, I'ma come up in a minute. Shit been taking long, but it's straight. Oh, wait. The older homie said, nigga, what you waiting for? You knew you would make it like way before. Now it's time to take it up one more floor. Nigga, I'ma come up in a minute. Nigga, I'ma come up in a minute. Shit been taking long, but it's straight. Come up in a minute. Nigga, I'ma come up in a minute. Shit been taking long, but it's straight. Oh, wait. The older homie said, nigga, what you waiting for? You knew you would make it like way before. Now it's time to take it up one more floor. Nigga, I'ma come up like you ain't never seen it before. I got some niggas coming through with some dough. If it get late, they ain't coming no more. If it's the fizz, don't you open the door. Hey, when these niggas get in the middle, man, I gotta manage to cut the middle, man. Limited liability for a light dreams, so I can hire niggas to fill them in on what I wanna do in the near future. Looking around and niggas still fruitful. Get over on them, this shit get real crucial. One of the litters like do it still suit you. I ain't think so. What you really wanna go to war with me for? Remember when I used to work at Navy Bistro? Now I make this shit to give a nigga heat stroke. Nigga, I'ma come up in a minute. Nigga, I'ma come up in a minute.
You back with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR, Vancouver's community radio station. That's Felice out of Toledo, Ohio. So, you know, well, I like to talk a lot of shit about Ohio. You know, there are some really nice things that come out, like a lot of my friends. Yeah, but that's Felice. We'll come up in a minute from Toledo. And so before the break, we were talking about Biggie Smalls, how he survived multiple gunshot wounds. And he thought he died. But no, in Prince George's, British Columbia, there's a cat, which being which is being described as a miracle after surviving multiple gunshot wounds from close range. The cat is owned by exactly who you think would own it. Exactly who you would think would name a cat Biggie Smalls, the notorious B.I.G. Just imagine you had someone who would do that. You know, maybe they would dress up in blackface too. But I'm not going to say that this person did, but I'm saying that's what they would look like. And yeah, so Biggie the cat was shot multiple times from close range by a pellet gun in November, and it survived. Now I don't know the type of person who shoots cats with pellet guns. Like, what type of monster just walking around shooting cats with pellet guns? That doesn't make any sense. It's unnecessary. You can kill a cat way easier. Anyways, yeah, but the cat survived. So, you know, Tupac is now no longer the only rapper in 1996-97 who survived multiple gunshot wounds. Rest in peace to the Notorious B.I.G. So, you know, we like to talk here about how the only important news stories that come here in BC are about housing and homelessness. And so we have a national story this week, which really encompasses both of those things together. And in a pretty positive way, as I was talking to an individual in my office yesterday, it seems that we have made a more concerted effort to really try to curb this problem of homelessness and housing here in Vancouver, particularly because, like, we're so conscious of it. Like, all we do is we think about how almost nobody can live very comfortably, and particularly families. Families have a really hard time here just trying to make ends meet just so that they can live functionally. Like I've said before, I've never heard of a place where, like, maybe Whistler, you know, I mean, but that's still here in British Columbia. I've never heard of a place where routinely people are sharing rooms. I would guess, I know this happens in New York City, and I know it happens in D.C. because those places are expensive as well, and people are making more lifestyle decisions there. But here in Vancouver, like, I hear routinely that people are not only sharing rooms, I've heard people sharing beds, I've heard people, like, full-grown adults, you know, with body odor and mood swings and, like, long-term relationships, you know, like, sharing beds and bunk beds, like, not a hostile situation, just like a hostile living situation, because I could only imagine if I was sleeping in a bunk bed, how effing hostile I would be every day. Like, every day I would wake up angry. Well, the city of Vancouver, well, not the city of Vancouver, but Canada in general is really trying to change that. So Justin Trudeau came out yesterday and said that housing is a human right. And so what does that really mean? When Justin Trudeau says housing is a human right, like, what does that mean? Well, it means that the government is going to put $40 billion into a plan to help construct more social housing and repair the old social housing all over the country. And so not only are they going to refurbish and rebuild and build more public housing, but what that means is they are also going to provide families with a $2,500 a year housing stipend. Now, $2,500 a year, you know, in the prairies is different than $2,500 a year here in the Lower Mainland. And it's interesting to see, like, what this will do. But more is interesting to see how they define housing as a human right, and what was it that really pushed them over the edge? Because I feel like everybody would say that housing is a human right and housing is something that people deserve. But why is it something that, like, we have to fight so hard for? So basically, what they really come down to is the prime minister and his like crew. You know, I really wanted to talk about how it's just a fundamental need. Like, people have to have sufficient housing, have to have stable housing if you want to have, you know, kids grow up in a good environment, and kids grow up in an environment where they, you know, can reach their full potential and grow. And I think that's pretty obvious, and I don't think anyone would argue with that. You know, it really defines how the public sector and the government has a real role in making sure that people are, you know, really doing people are actually doing well and able to, like, live their life. And also, it really it's like a platform that the Liberal government ran on, and it's a platform that the Liberal government ran on, and it's just something that we need to. We should be holding our, you know, politicians to the just like to what they said they were going to do. You know, we're still waiting on lots of legislation to come through, particularly on a very hot, fiery topic. You know, that Trudeau practically based on. But think about how this will affect British Columbia. And there is optimism. So what British Columbia has a goal of is 75,000 affordable housing units in the next 10 years. And so when they mean by affordable housing, it's just like, so you don't have to pay more than half of your monthly income for housing. And like, that can be in, either in co-ops or in, you know, co-ops or just, you know, just more public housing here in the city. In the city where you have, you know, over 25,000 unoccupied units just in the downtown, and then over 40,000 in Vancouver proper. So I think that there's, like, some newfound optimism, and there's some optimism around, like, what actually the government can do and what actually the government should be doing for people. And so in the summertime, you know, while we talked about housing, the rain, homelessness, we also talked about these wildfires. And so what we have seen here in British Columbia is there are scammers who are trying to access financial assistance, claiming to have lived in the addresses, like, where the wildfire, basically where the evacuees, where the people made to evacuate from the wildfires. Now, one of the things that I think is the most, I would say, admirable quality of humans, like, I don't know if it's admirable, but, like, I wish that my brain thought of it. Like, I feel like I'm a pretty smart person. Like, I feel, you know, like, I feel pretty smart. Like, I had a high school teacher tell me that I had the mind of a villain, like a criminal, like a criminal mind. But, like, I was smart, so I guess that would make me a super villain. But as I've grown older, I realized that that teacher was full of shit. And, you know, I'm a pretty nice person, but not that I'm a pretty nice person. That's not why I think that. I think more so is because I'm just not smart enough. Like, I don't think that I'm smart enough to come up with these scams. Like, so people are scamming insurance companies, you know, claiming that they live at these houses that, you know, that were burned down, you know, in the interior and up north. And I'm just curious, like, is there a monthly meeting where these people get together and they're like, hey, hear ye, we got a new scam, guys. Listen, this is what we're going to do this month. This is how you do it. This is the first step. We're going to take the first two steps. Hey, Johnny, Susan, I want you to try this. Brad, Carol, I want you to try that. And we're going to see which one works. We're going to bring back, do our research, bring back who gets the maximum gains. And then from there, we are going to pass it on to the wider club. You know, is there, like, an association where you go to find out about these things? Because I feel like I'm always late. I feel like I only find out about these scams after they have been found out and quelled by the local authorities. Because there's people who got in on the scam early, like from the beginning, who found out that this was working. And they got to reap all the benefits. So, like, when my teacher said, hey, Issa, you got a criminal mind. Like, no, I don't. I don't think of crimes fast enough. Now, I don't want to make this about me. This is about the fires, and this is about people, you know, scamming the Canadian Red Cross, trying to get some toiletries and, you know, a little bit of cash. Now, I feel like if you do the work to do the scam, that's no different than doing a job. Like, you put in a lot of work for that scam. So, you know what? We reward work. We reward hard work and we reward scamming in our society as long as it's in the right place. When you scam poor people, you scam companies or rich people, you got to pay consequences. You scam poor people, those poor people should have known better. When we get back, we are going to, I got a lot to get to today. When we get back, we're going to go into one of the many topics that I think that we should talk about, and I'm not going to tell you which one. So just stay tuned and be ready.
Yeah. Off-white Nikes, lace them clean. There we go. Ay. Lean lick ash on my undercover jeans. Fuck this little bad bitch from your dreams. Fresh as Listerine when I pull up to the scene. Ay. Off-white Nikes, lace them clean. Lean lick ash on my undercover jeans. Fuck this little bad bitch from your dreams. Cleanest Listerine when I pull up to the scene. Smoking on a blunt, about as tall as limousine. All these niggas gas, I roll up the kerosene. I was sitting bad like the scale is a regime. Walking with the lie, you can hear my pocket sing. Going for a little bit, I'm drowsy off a bean. Shit, I take pennies, cause it all add up to me. Lil bro still selling fire to a fiend. Talking fresh with the iron in his jeans. Off white Nikes, lace them clean. Lean lick ash on my undercover jeans. Fuck this little bad bitch from your dreams. Clean as Listerine when I pull up to the scene. Ay. Off white Nikes, lace them clean. Lean lick ash on my undercover
jeans. You gonna tell me? Come on, spit it out.
Me llamo Roberto y es el camino al éxito.
Fucking Kamasutra from the outside, from the outside, from the outside. Fucking dollars up from the outside, from the outside, from the outside.
They've been talking down on me, huh? What'd you say? They've been talking down on me. They've been talking down on me, huh? What'd you say? They've been talking down on me, huh? What'd you say?
My daddy told me how to sell dope. Turn grabs into elbows. Light it up when the L roll. Black man used to kick those. With no bullets in the guns, though. Niggas still never argue. Raid the house like the task force. Me and my niggas like drug dogs. Find the dope, then we take off. Put my girl with my chain on. Then she tatted my name on it. Yellowstone, I was raised on it. Activist in my baby bottle. Baby stroller was an Impala. Niggas like to talk dying on me. When I see him, I don't hear about it.
Fucking commas up from the outside. From the outside, from the outside. For fucking dollars up from the outside, from the outside, from the outside.
They've been talking down on me, huh? What'd you say? They've been talking down on me, huh? What'd you say? They've been talking down on me, huh? What'd you say? They've been talking down on me, huh? What'd you say?
Never would I met my friends.
What?
I really wanted to catch that football game, but I have to clean my room. I'm so bummed.
Yo, man, totally chill out. You can catch it on CITR.
CITR?
Did someone say CITR?
Yeah.
CITR Radio brings you Thunderbird Sports on the weekends. Catch all the action and don't miss a moment of play with our live play-by-play and color commentary. Only on CITR 101.9 FM.
Wow, that's great.
And if you can't catch the game, tune in at 3:30 p.m. every Thursday for our weekly update on UBC Athletics with live scores, recaps, and in-depth analysis.
Oh, okay, dude. Okay, dude. We get it.
Dude.
You're back with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR, Vancouver's community radio station. I'm your host, Issa Arian. And so, what you listened to was Brockhampton. You also listened to Cousin Stiz. Listen, Cousin Stiz has a few songs which I am particularly fond of. You can find those on Rex Zips. That's R-H-E-K Zips. You can Google that. I feel like Z-I-P-S. By the way, I don't like everything from Ohio, like the Akron Zips, who unfortunately knocked my Ohio Bobcats out of the MAC championship game. Hope those dudes lose and embarrass themselves. So here on Thanksgiving, Thanksgiving is one of those holidays where, like, a lot of people come together, and a lot of people come to your house, particularly either you're going to go to somebody's house or people are coming to your house. Well, maybe not your house, but your folks' house. And when I say your folks, could be your auntie, could be your grandma, could be your uncle, could be your mother. You could be going to a significant other's house. You could be going to a friend's house. And you never really know what's going down. If you'd like to call in, the number is 604-822-CITR. That's 604-822-2487. I sometimes forget to do that. Not often, but call in. And, so you'd be going to someone's house, and it is highly, highly probable that the conversation that will come up is about, the state of affairs of the world. I strongly suggest that you avoid these types of topics in this type of mixed company, just like I avoid talking about Drake here in Canada. Listen, nothing good can come. Well, I would say a little good can come because people can understand about, like, just the type of guy that it is, or it can make people really upset, and you never know what their reaction is going to be. And I think that this is a time in the world where they talk about, like, religion and politics are two things you don't want to bring up at, in a public function, but religion might be safe in the sense that people are really going to have a really hard time defending it. So if you're one of those people who likes to come to people's religion, listen, like, people right now are just going to be like, you know what? You got it. Like, this is not the time for us to be arguing, about that. Because we have had in the most recent time, I feel like this is a new day where women are not only being, like, accepted when they come forward in the more general sense. When I say like the women are being more accepted, I understand that not all women are, have their voices heard, particularly in these situations, but it seems to me that this is an unprecedented time in at least my adult life where a woman comes forward with an accusation and it's being taken pretty seriously, at least on some type of level, like on a level where it is being heard and discussed rather than ignored and like swept underneath the rug. So in the past, like, few weeks, here in Vancouver, we've had, a really interesting, I would say it's really interesting, because it's way that in the entertainment industry here that people have handled these sexual assault allegations for the past few weeks, to where people have been losing their jobs. And it's really like a small microcosm of what just happened in a wider audience, particularly politically and in entertainment. And so what we've seen is that, like, women are coming forward. But we're also seeing that it seems like the people who you would expect to hammer most heavily on these types of things, on types of infidelity and on infidelity. And the idea that a grown ass man, a state attorney, district attorney, would be trying to holler at high school age women and like it being widely accepted or not. We have officially lost our minds. Now, I guess yesterday it was 3 years to the day. Was it 2000? Yeah, 3 years to the day that Tamir Rice was gunned down and murdered by the police officers in Cleveland, Ohio. And honestly, like, that was the day that I lost total faith in whatever the hell we have going on here in the United States. Now, I know that the United States is not everywhere, but I would expect those types of things in other places. And I would expect like some, you know, like, and I honestly, like, I expect people to continue to get killed by the police. But like, you would think that like a 12-year-old boy getting killed by police, you know, would have some type of just like you would think that that would have like some type of effect, but nope, it didn't. And you would also think that a individual running for state senator would have some type of effect, like if he's trying to talk to high school girls, like if he's picking up girls at team plays, you know, if he's picking up girls at you know, wherever the hell he's picking them up at, you would expect that people would be a little outraged about that, but they're not. And the president endorsed him. And so while we have seen, you know, these types of allegations, you know, particularly about sexual assault, have been taken seriously, you know, the representative Al Franken has had multiple accusations, and people are calling for his resignation, even though they really like Al Franken. But listen, that's what we have to understand, is that even the people we really like, they do trash things. They got to go. Like, you know, if, like when Donald Trump first became president, he talked about draining the swamp. Like this, listen, if this is how you drain the swamp, it's quick. It's not like it's quick. And sometimes you lose some of the things you like, but it has to happen if you want to get, you know, all of those old crusty ass alligators out. And, you know, maybe this will make room for some women's, for some trans individuals and, you know, other people who are looking to, you know, continue to be open-minded and make a difference. Because one of the things that these people are harping on is the fact that, you know, transgender bathrooms and, you know, just the change in the idea of this sexuality and how we talk about these types of things are harming the American public, and they are harming our American society and the family values that this country is built on. But when you actually think about it, these GOP senators are endorsing a candidate who routinely calls 14-year-old girls sweetie and is trying to take them on dates and is dating little women. And if you are concerned about, you know, people molesting kids in the bathroom, and you're not concerned about a grown-ass man standing outside of family court, you know, preying on vulnerable 14, 15-year-old girls, you know, then you're backwards. And, you know, like, we like to understand that these people don't actually believe in facts, these people who are supporting us, like, you know, our president. And this is just another example. So, you know, I think we have to continue to hammer home these points. And we have to continue, like, the genuine outrage for it. Because, like, there is a little girl. Well, I wouldn't say little girl. I mean, she's like a young woman now, Satanya Brown, who is facing life in prison because she was being sex trafficked and she ended up killing the man who sex trafficked her. Now, normally, I feel like this is the start of a superhero story. You know, this is the start where we would start supporting this girl as like a hero who stands up against her accusers stands up against her abusers and really puts to liberty, really puts give me liberty or give me death in real context. Like, she was being held captive and she took her liberty and she gave death away. And I feel like those are the type of heroes that we prop up in our American culture. But when they happen in real life, when they happen to be a little, you know, a little brown girl who stands up for her rights as a human being, put her in life in prison. What type of message does that send? It sends the exact message that we think it would. When we get back, we'll be talking a little bit about some Thanksgiving topics that you might be able to talk about with your family that are nonpartisan and maybe might make you feel a little better, and they might make you look a little smarter in front. So stay tuned.
Club, we guarantee that you will be able to make a balloon poodle within the first day.
Here at the UBC Ant Club, we just like to talk about ants and compare ant farms. It's really cool.
Paperclip Club is all about, well, paperclips mostly.
At Blah Club, you can blah blah, blah 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 blah.
Explosion!
There's only one club worth joining at UBC, and that's CITR 101.9 FM. We got free tickets to shows, whirly pops, professional help in all types of audio engineering, passes to festivals, crazy parties, live bands, swag. All types of crazy people. Our programming manager rides a motorcycle. There's freestyle rapping, Nardwar the Human Serviette, the vinyl and record libraries, Discorder magazine, free studio recording, and it sure beats the hell out of Paperclip Club, which is a thing that I just made up because I work at
CITR.
So come check us out on the floor of the Student Union Building. We got all types of crazy shit for you to do. Or check us out online at www.citr.ca.
Thank you.
You're back with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR, Vancouver's community radio station. I'm your host, Issa Arian. Feel free to call in. The number is 604-822-CITR. That's 604-822-2487. If you have anything to share about, you know, how your Thursday is going, what is your Thanksgiving like, and what are the topics that you might be trying to stay away from here on this holiday. And so, some nonpartisan, you know, topics that you might be able to talk with about, talk with your family about. I feel general consensus, you and your family, you could talk about Post Malone. Now, if you don't know who Post Malone is, listen, this is your, and if listen, you don't know who Post Malone is and you like rap music, this is your opportunity to rail on a rapper, which you think, you know, is not really supporting real hip hop. And if you don't like rap music, listen, this is an opportunity to rail on a rapper who you can certifiably says is actually trash. So, like Post Malone, I enjoy some of his music. However, you know, I will no longer have to enjoy his music because Post Malone the other day came on Twitter, or you know, I saw it on Twitter, so I don't know actually where it came from. Where he said basically that rap is fun music, and if you listen, if you want to cry, if you want to listen to anything serious, if you want to like think, then don't listen to rap music. And I really feel like Post Malone was talking about don't listen to my music because my music is trash and it's not, and it's made for people who don't want to think. And anyways, I imagine that Post Malone probably grew up, you know, in a pretty diverse environment, you know, in an environment which he thought was diverse. Like, listen, I know a lot of cats like that, you know, where they could go either way. They either real or they're faking it. Either they're really reliving it or they're really faking it, you know? And so Post Malone seems to be one of those people who's faking it. Like, I feel like Post Malone probably has a alter ego where, not an alter ego, but, like, you know, a personality where he grew up, he's probably didn't fit into several groups. And then he found this group of, you know, what we might say outcasts or people who rap, you know, as a growing up. And I wouldn't say that they're outcasts, but nobody really thinks that their rapper friends are going to make it. So, like, you're not really giving them the proper respect or proper due that, you know, you might think until they blow up, because I feel like that's just how it happens. Like, honestly, like, I feel like being a, you know, starting off as a rapper is probably, it seems like probably one of, like, the harder routes to take, and also, like, one of the more, like, embarrassing routes. You got to hand out your mixtape and have people constantly say no. But anyways, I feel like, so if Post Malone found a group of people where they were like, you know what, dude, we'll accept you. We'll bring you in. And so he just lived it. And, you know, it's almost like the people who, you know, like the people, the white people who get dreadlocks and, you know, listen to, you know, Rastafari, and they, you know, they got Bob Marley posters on their wall and they smoke a lot of weed and they listen to Legend and they listen to Three Little Birds and they listen to, you know, Jammin' over and over and over and over again, and they're like, you know what, listen, I'm down with Bob Marley, I'm down with smoking weed, like, I understand what's going on, I understand what this is about. They probably even buy the Bob Marley drinks from the store. They probably, they might wear wristbands and headbands with you know, green, yellow, red. However, they don't really understand, like that, you know, when they listen to Bob Marley, they're not really listening to, you know, they're not listening to Babylon System, you know, and they're not really listening to, like, you know, what type of revolutionary Bob Marley is about. And so, like, I feel like that's how Post Malone's describing rap music. So, like, you know, I feel like this is a pretty safe topic that you can talk about, you know, at whichever dinner you can have. You can debate. You can talk about how this new school of rapping is trash and about how all they do is pop pills and listening to drug user music. And, you know, and you can set, use Post Malone as an example. And then the people who hate rap say, yeah, Post Malone, look at that guy. What's up with that? He sucks. And you guys can eat in harmony. Now, when I say eat homie, like, I don't know why that phrase, like, thinking about that, just put this idea of a fully served, table down. You know, I'm just thinking about where I was, like, last year on Thanksgiving, because I haven't been able to go home for Thanksgiving in a few years, but last year, fortunately, I was, you know, fortunate enough to, like, you know, be able to share, you know, Thanksgiving with some loved ones. And this year, it's all changed. And if you want to check out how my Thanksgiving has changed, you can go follow me on Twitter at spoonie_love.com, at Twitter, like my at spoonie_love. That's at the @ @spoonie_love. And I'll tell you all about that again today, about how my Thanksgiving has changed. Another topic that you can bring up and you can talk about with your bipartisan family that is pretty safe. You can talk about net neutrality. Like, I don't know if you guys know what net neutrality is, but my friends have been talking to me about it for years. Like, I feel like it's been a few years, maybe like 2 or 3 years that I have been aware of the net neutrality. And, like, while people really try to explain it, I feel that the concept is so ridiculously backwards that it is even suggested. That's why it's hard for people to, it's hard to get people to listen, because, like, they just can't even imagine what it would be like. So this past week, the FCC has not only in the past month, listen, this is what happened in the past month in regards to the media. So, like, what has happened is that, like, now a conglomerate can own the local media stations in your neighborhood. This is not Canadian news, so this is America. So when Canada, when you look at America, like, just don't do this. Like, this is not, like, the next step, hopefully. So what happens is a conglomerate can own your local news station, so where people trust their local news and get their local news from, it can actually be owned by a large corporation now, when that wasn't the case. Like, there were rules against that. And so what that means is that they can run national stories, you know, that your local newscasters have to run and your local news programs have to run. And so what it ends up doing is it ends up skewing, you know, the way that we think about the world, because essentially they can put propaganda in your local home. You don't even have to have cable news package to listen to Fox, the Fox people, because they'll bring it to your local Fox station. And whereas they weren't doing that before, which is, I thought that this is something that was going on the whole time, but it has not, which was good to know. That's how you get the stories. That's how you get those stories about, like, you know, the squirrels, and you get to learn about, you know, these scammers in BC, and you get to really, you know, you really get to understand, you know, about what's going on in your local station. When I say the squirrels, I mean, like, you know, like those squirrels that they have, you know, who are continually riding, like, dirt bikes and stuff like that. You know, they, maybe they're in a hang glider. Like, those cute things. You know, you get those stories from the local news channels. You don't get those from the cable news channels. But that's gone. And so, basically, net neutrality is really, like, an extension of how our how, like, we are being, like, laser focused into some particular into, like, some particular mediums of communication. So what net neutrality is that your cable company can slow down or speed up your access to particular websites based on anything that they want to. Like, they can charge you money to, they can, so for example, I feel like the best way it was explained to me is that, like, everybody uses Google for the search engine. Like, nobody uses, if you use anything else, it's, like, probably for a very specific reason. But I feel like Google has become so synonymous with search that we say, Google it. Like, it's not even search for it on the internet. It's just Google it, because that's exactly where you're going to go. However, Comcast owns Yahoo. And so what they could do is they could charge you to access Google, but make Yahoo free. So basically steering, you know, the steering people who don't have the ability or don't care to pay for, you know, their particular websites they're going to search, and so that they end up having to use those websites. And the same things, they can charge you for, like, your social media use. They can charge you extra for your music use. They can charge, you know, they're basically trying to find a way to put a price tag on the internet. And in a place where, like, I've grown up, where the internet, you know, has been just basically wide open, and anyone can, you know, put a website on there, take a website down, or, you know, search wherever they want, you know, use whatever, you know, get, basically go to any blog. You are able to shape your experience on a computer in a way that we had never been before, but now that is being taken away. And you can talk to your family about that, because I feel like this is a topic that hits both homes. So, you know, your conservative Aunt Jackie, you can talk about how she won't be able to access, you know, she won't be able to access her, you know, whichever, the conservative tribune or whichever one of those Breitbart, whichever one of those websites that she likes, where, you know, all they do is talk about Obama and how good Trump is. She won't be able to access that for money. And you, if you I'm sure, because I'm pretty sure if you listen to the show, you probably think a lot like me, is that, like, you know, you won't be able to access some of the things that you want to access, you know, some of, like, your news, like Reddit, because I feel like that's where, you know, you get the most accurate news from. It gets voted up and down. Like, that's what type of, like, that's how, like, my news, Democratic. And, yeah, so I feel like that's a topic which you can talk to your relatives and your, you know, can be discussed at your Thanksgiving table, that you don't really have to pick a side, because net neutrality is bad for everybody. It's not just bad for, you know, conservatives or liberals or anybody. It's bad for everybody. So net neutrality, Post Malone, two things you can talk about at Thanksgiving. One more thing you can't talk about at Thanksgiving is, I guess maybe objectively you can talk about it, it's like the corruption in Baltimore police. So, like, we know what happened in the Freddie Gray case, you know, where a young man was killed by the police for, you know, during a ride to the precinct, and how people were complaining about how this is pretty much routine, and they saw the Baltimore riots, and they understand that, like, listen, Baltimore is pretty corrupt. Listen, it is like another indicator of how just how corrupt Baltimore is that they had an officer who was scheduled to appear today in federal grand jury to talk about the corruptions in this gun trafficking case, which indicted four officers, and he was murdered yesterday while on duty. So one day away from when he was supposed to talk about, you know, corruption in Baltimore police, he was murdered. So when we talk about a few bad apples, and you talk about how people are upset about, you know, what's going on in their communities, you know, these are the types of things that they're dealing with. Not only are they willing to kill civilians, but they're also willing to kill the police, kill their fellow officers to maintain status quo. Now, I say they are often, now, listen, because I 100% do not believe that this is a coincidence. I think that this is manufactured. And listen, and this is the way that people want it to be, because it's too coincidental to be a coincidence for me. So it's not a conspiracy, because it's facts. I'm objectively saying it until it's been proven wrong. So also, if you haven't had time to check it out, you should check out LeVar Ball interview on CNN. Listen, LeVar Ball is one he's why I think America is great. Like, because you can have personalities like this who get on the news and be right. When Donald Trump sent out tweets yesterday talking, he called LeVar Ball a fool and talked about how it was him who got his son out of China. Listen, three UCLA basketball players, one of them being LeVar Ball's son, LiAngelo Ball, was arrested in China for stealing sunglasses from a Louis Vuitton store. And what we saw was And Donald Trump tweeting about how he needs to be more grateful. Now, I don't really have that much time, but this is what we have been doing to this is what the president has been talking about while we have all these things going on. I think there was a Navy, it's a boat crash, or, you know, I would say a boat crash, and we just have a lot going on. And he's talking about why an American civilian, a father, is ungrateful to him. If that's all we have time for you today, remember there's three NFL football games on. Take your knee during each one of the national anthems to piss off a relative and make sure that you eat your food first so that you can leave on time. Have a great week. Have a great weekend. We do this every Thursday on CITR.ca from 7 to 8 in the morning. Until next week.